The big moment is almost here. Euro 2020, just a day away. Welcome along to the Racing Post Football Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and in the company of Dan Childs and Aidan Perkins, we'll be looking ahead to what should be a fantastic month of football. We'll get Dan and Aidan's outright fancies. We'll see if they've got a long shot lurking. Top scorers, groups, all sorts of specials. And then we'll get stuck into the first batch of matches. We'll get the naps as well. Tons to get stuck into. We'll start with the very simple question, though. Who wins Euro 2020, Aidan Perkins?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a very obvious one, Bruce. I'm going to go with France. The World Cup winners of 2018. I just think looking at their squad, it's just too good to ignore. I know a lot of people do fancy France. They're just littered with top quality talent throughout the squad. Mbappe, of course, Griezmann. We know all about them too. Paul Pogba as well. I think he's probably going to turn up and enjoy a good tournament because I know he's not necessarily everyone's favourite player, but when he's on it, Pogba, he can drive France forward just like he did in the World Cup. So I think France will do it. I think they have got a tough group. But I mean, people sometimes forget as well, they did get to the final of Euro 2016. You know, okay, they were sort of overshadowed and beaten by Portugal, but you know, they still had a very good tournament there and then backed it up with the World Cup win. So it's France for me.
Do you think they're 9-2, Aidan? Do you think are you surprised how big they are?
I suppose in a way, because I mean, I'm surprised at England's price. I don't think England need to be as short as that. But I mean, that tends to be the way of it, doesn't it? That England are short for the big tournaments with everyone getting behind them. I think, you know, it's definitely worth getting on France at that price. I think they are maybe slightly mispriced, but you know, overall, I think they've just got the best squad, and I think they'll be the team to beat. I also factor in the fact that a lot of these tournaments down the years, recent tournaments, everyone's looking at Germany to do well. They're not the force they were. I don't think England are as good as people are making out. Yes, good going forward, but maybe not, you know, question marks elsewhere. So I think that's why it all leads into France for me.
Okay, just give a quick recap of the betting. This is guide prices, 9-2 France, 5 England, 11-2 Belgium, 7 Germany, 8 Spain, 8 Portugal, 8 Italy. And then it's around about 14 or 16-1 the Netherlands and 25-1 Bar. Dan, where is your outright money going?
Well, I think it's a wide open tournament. I mean, I think there's 10 or 11 teams that you could make some sort of a case for. So I do think England and France fall into the too short category. Portugal are catching my eye at about 8-1. I'm a bit worried about the group that they're in, obviously, with Germany and France. But I look through the team and you look at, you know, right through it, you got Dias at the back there, who's been outstanding for Manchester City, Cancelo, another member of the back four. You know, attacking midfield, you've got Bruno Fernandes, Silva, Manchester City as well. And then you've got the Ronaldo, who looks as good as ever. And Diogo Jota adding, extra firepower. To me, it looks an incredibly strong team. A lot stronger, actually, than the team that won the Euros 5 years ago. So, and if you remember in the final there, Cristiano Ronaldo was actually injured. Supposedly a one-man team, gets injured early on, they still go on and win it. So, They look strong to me. Italy, because of the draw, they haven't really got the star names, but they're 27 games unbeaten. That's the longest of any team, you know, taking part in the tournament. And the draw, the group they're in with Turkey, Wales and Switzerland, if they win the group, if you follow the draw through, they would get the runners-up in Group C, which you're looking at probably Austria or Ukraine. So, you know, every chance of Italy plowing a furrow, at least until the quarterfinals. And then, with such a solid defence they've got, the likes of Bonucci and Chiellini, they're going to be a hard team to beat in a knockout game. So they would be the two for me to look at. Italy and Portugal, similar prices, I think around 8-1.
I'm hearing more and more people say they fancy Italy. Okay, Dan, we'll stick with you then, because if you say there's 10 or 11 that can win it, presumably there must be a team at a really big price that catches your eye. Now, I do remember on a postcast, probably 2 years ago, you made a really strong case for the Czech Republic. Are they still a team that could outrun their odds?
I was looking at the Czech Republic. I'm a little bit worried about a couple of omissions going into the tournament. Provod, who was a decent wide player for them, has missed out of an injury, and they've lost Kudela to a suspended 10-match ban as well. So
10-match? What did he do?
It was the racist comments. I think it was during the World Cup qualifier against Wales. And I think he got a 10-game ban, didn't he? So that's a big blow for them. They're a nation that were coming along well, but they do rely on you know, getting that strongest first team out there, and to lose two key members of it, I think, is a little bit much.
Where's the value? Come on.
Well, I think Denmark are overpriced. There's been a little bit of support for them, but I think they're still around 28-1. Kasper Hjulmand, who's coming as the manager, they're playing a bit more of an offensive style of play now. Eriksson's come back to a bit of form towards the end of the season with Inter. He's always important for them, but you've also got a bit of pace there with Braithwaite, who plays for Barcelona, and Poulsen up front, and a real strong centre of defence with Christensen and Kjaer Andersen, who I actually like watching Fulham this season. So and obviously you've got Kasper Schmeichel as the last line of defence. There's a lot of strength through the team. Quite a nice draw as well in the group with Belgium, Russia and Finland. I fancy them strongly to get top two there. If they finish second, they will get the runners-up in Group A, which you're looking at probably Turkey, Wales or Switzerland. So again, they're a bit like Italy. You can see a path through to the quarterfinals, and from that point onwards, every chance. The other big outsider, even bigger price, I would look at Poland at 80-1. Just think any team, you know, they qualified in quite a good style. When any team with Lewandowski up front, to have that X factor, a little bit like Wales had with Gareth Bale 5 years ago, went all the way to the semi-finals. Again, they've got quite a nice draw, I think, Poland. Could get their teeth into the tournament and go well.
Okay, excellent. Aidan, have you got a long shot that you think might give us a good run for our money?
Yeah, I like the Netherlands, Bruce.
No one likes the Netherlands. Well, that really is swimming against the tide.
Do you know what? Look at their group, though. They're in a group of Austria, Ukraine and North Macedonia. Memphis Depay has come off a really good season for Lyon, but he's going to make a move to Barcelona. He's going to be really up for it. He just scored two in that draw against Scotland, which I know is not a great result. Obviously, they're missing Van Dijk at the back, which is a bit of a blow. But I've got a weird feeling for the Netherlands. Maybe looking at an each way bet to get to, you know, the later stages. But I've got a feeling for them. I really have, and it's a funny one. And it was only strengthened when I then sort of realised in the last few days just how, well, hopefully straightforward their group is with Austria, North Macedonia, and the Ukraine. So, you know, if they get a good couple of early wins, confidence flows. I mean, they've got some talent in the squad as well. You know, Wijnaldum in midfield. There's some real talent. I like Depay up front. Like I say, he's going to go to Barcelona. I know Donny van der Beek's out. That was the last few days. He's been confirmed out. But Frenkie de Jong, you know, Barcelona again. Nathan Ake at the back. They've got experience in Daley Blind. I've got a feeling for the Netherlands. That's my outsider if you're looking for one, yeah.
Yeah, we certainly are. And don't forget, by the way, it's not too late to get the Racing Post Ultimate Guide to the Tournament. You can get it in newsagents or order it at racingpost.com. 72 pages, absolutely packed with essential info. Now then, lads, top scorer, Dan, who catches your eye for this?
I'm looking right at the top of the market is my main fancy, is Lukaku at 13-2. I do think Belgium as well will have a strong tournament. Obviously, the worries over De Bruyne, how fit he's going to be. But, I mean, they have got the group they're in with Russia and Denmark and Finland in their group. I think Russia and the Finns, I think, are quite weak opposition. And that should allow, De Bruyne time to get fit and have an involvement. And those early group games, you would fancy Belgium to score quite a few goals and then Lukaku to be one of the main contributors. I think against Russia, even in qualifying, they beat them twice and scored seven goals in the process. So that's an example of their scoring power. An outsider again. I'll go back to Lewandowski. I think if he has a big tournament for Poland, he's 25-1, incredible form, 41 goals in the Bundesliga this season for Bayern Munich. Got six goals in qualifying for Poland. I think 25-1 is a big price for him.
Okay, Aidan, who's your top scorer fancy?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to a bit more of an obvious route with Mbappe, 8-1. I think he's about, which I think is decent. 16 goals and 42 caps for France. Maybe not catching the eye that much, them sort of figures, but he's a big game player. Demonstrated that in the World Cup in 2018. I think he can do it again. Obviously a good season again for PSG. I really like Mbappe. The other one, and I'm tying it in with previous Netherlands shout, is Depay again. If they get going, he's their main man up front. And like I keep harking back to the fact that they've got a fairly straightforward group, so they may score some goals, win some games by, you know, quite big score lines, and Depay is bound to be among the goal scorers if Holland do that. So they're my two. I think Mbappe is a really good shout at 8-1 though overall.
Okay, chaps. Now then, one bet that's really caught my eye, and I don't like having it because it's under the total goals. One firm going under 131 and a half goals. And you hate doing that because when you go into a major tournament, you want to see action. You want to be excited. But it just seems like a wrong price to me, Dan Charles. I mean, there were 108 last time, same format. This isn't good. You know, there's a lot of people saying this isn't going to be the most expansive, free-flowing tournament. I thought it would take a lot of getting to 132 goals.
Yeah, I think in your favour is the fact that, as I mentioned, it is, even though there's 24 teams, it does look quite a bit of depth in the tournament. Even if you look at the, you know, Group F with, you know, three such, you know, strong teams all in the same group, not going to be probably many high-scoring games there. The one word of caution, I would just mention that VAR wasn't involved 5 years ago, so that could lead to, you know, a few more penalties and goals from that way.
Well, I suppose so. Yeah, it could disallow a few as well. You never know. Yeah. Let's just hope it's not ruined by VAR. Okay, then, in just a moment, we will preview the first game of the tournament.
Be sure to check out the Racing Post website throughout the Euros for daily tournament previews, news and expert tips.
Okay, welcome back. Euro 2020 kicks off on Friday night at 8 o'clock. It's Turkey versus Italy. It's live on BBC. And the Turks are outside of 7-1, 11-4 the draw, 1-2 Italy. All the prices I quote on this will be very much for guidance. You can shop around and maybe get some better. But that will give you an idea of what we're looking at here. So, Aidan, Italy, very strong favourites. Will they kick off and make it a good start for favourite backers?
Yeah, I do think they'll win. I don't think it'll be a wholly convincing win. We often see, don't we, sort of like what you're alluding to before there about the maybe lack of goals overall. We often see lots of hype building up to tournaments, and then the opening game sometimes lets us down, doesn't it? And it's not quite as good as you want it to be, and it's not like this sort of free-flowing game. But I think Italy will win, but I think they'll just edge it. It might be like by a one-goal margin, something like that. I don't think Turkey are going to be pushovers either. You know, they've done all right in qualifying, and they're not that out of form. And I think some people are suggesting Turkey sort of dark horses, you know, to do well in the tournament, but not for me. I think Italy will win this match, but I don't expect it to be a classic, and I don't expect there to be too many goals. Maybe look at under three goals, stuff like that as well. 3.5 goals, you know, obviously not great odds, but somewhere along them lines is where I'm thinking for this game. I think Italy will win, but it won't be a classic.
So come on, what's the bet?
Yeah, to me, It's going to be Italy by one goal margin.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Dan, what's your opening salvo going to be for Euro 2020?
I've got a very similar train of thought. Going to go for Italy and under 3.5 goals just to boost the price up at just a shade of odds on. I think Italy's probably strength is at the back. They've won their last five competitive games 2-0. Last nine competitive games, I've not scored more than two goals in any of them. So there's a little bit of the Chelsea under Thomas Tuchel going on there. They keep winning games and not losing games, but they don't actually score lots and lots of goals. And when you look at their, you know, experience, they've got the back there with Bonucci and Chiellini still there in the heart of their defence. You can see why. A bit of a worry for them at the start of the tournament that key midfielder Marco Verratti is struggling to be fit, probably going to miss the first game. His axis with Jorginho is a real key element for Italy. I think Turkey, you know, probably not going to be pushovers. They've got a really strong centre of defence as well. Demirel, who plays for Juventus, Soyuncu, we know well from Leicester. So, you know, they've got a strong base to their team. They do offer a threat up front with Burak Yilmaz, who was the top scorer for Lille, the French champions this season. Don't think there'll be pushovers, but don't see them getting any points here. I mean, Italy and Rome in the first game is a tough one for them. So, a narrow Italy win for me.
Thank you very much. Okay, the other game in Group A is the second game of the tournament. It takes place at 2 o'clock on Saturday, and it sees Wales take on the Swiss. It's 29-10. The Welsh 2-1 the draw. That's short, and 23-20 Switzerland. Switzerland are favourites. Will they get it done, Dan?
Not sure they will. No, I mean the draw, it does look short, but that's actually going to be. Going to be my bet. I can't really see past the draw in this one. I mean, Switzerland, they're a team. They're often highly ranked by FIFA, and they go into, you know, big tournaments and get seen as dark horses sometimes, but they seem to lack that offensive quality. Still relying on Shaqiri for that creative spark. Still got the same forwards as they had at the last World Cup. Mbolo, Seferovic, Gavranovic, but they didn't score many goals at that tournament. 5 goals in 4 games, and that lack of spark. I just think they might struggle to break the Welsh down. I think Wales have actually got more going forward. Gareth Bale, you know, finished the season quite strongly. The Spurs, you've got Dan James Pace, you know, Harry Wilson and Aaron Ramsey can provide a bit of creativity as well. So there's
those four, that's not a bad four, that is it?
Yeah, and even off the bench, I mean, Kiefer Moore, although he plays in the Championship for Wales, when you see him at international level when he comes on, he's a threat as well off the bench for them. So,
and my favourite footballer of all time, Johnny Esther.
Yeah, Johnny Esther there. I mean,
what are you laughing at?
Wales, I look at their squad and they've got 14 or 15 players. If they have luck with injuries, a little bit like 5 years ago, they could actually, I mean, they're 200-1 outright. I'm not saying they're going to go and win it, but they could be, you know, a tricky team for some of the big teams, you know, maybe in the knockout stages. But I think in this opening game, Switzerland, their real strength, Switzerland, they are very, very strong defensively. And I think Wales may even be happy to at least to start to, you know, with a point on the board. So a draw for me.
Draw for Dan. Who for Aidan?
Yeah, I'm going to go Switzerland. I'm going to disagree quite a bit about Wales, actually. I'm looking at their squad list and we all know how good Gareth Bale is, but I don't think he's quite the player he was. Ramsey, top quality player, but he's had his injury problems of late. And then I look around the rest of the squad and I think it's second round. I don't think it's good enough to, I think they'll struggle to get out the group, Wales. I think, you know, they've got a couple of Luton players in their squad. No disrespect to Luton. It's a championship.
Complete disrespect to Luton there, Aidan.
Well, yeah, you know, but like we're talking about elite tournament international football here. And, you know, Roden's a decent player. Nico Williams, Liverpool fullback, he's barely played this season. Ben Davies is a good player. Yeah, OK. But where's the depth? Where's the quality? They're relying on people like Joe Allen, who is past his best. He's 31. Harry Wilson, again, unproven Premier League player, good Championship player.
How old are you, Aidan?
41.
Ah, so you're like me. You're senior. Don't start writing people off because they're 31. That's the first flush of you.
You know, I know what you're saying, but I'm struggling to get excited about Wales' squad. And you know, a lot of people are saying, "Well, Gareth Bale this, Gareth Bale that," but I don't think he's quite the player he was. And you know, like I say, Ramsey's injury worries. I'd be concerned if I'm looking at that Wales squad. And I think Switzerland will win this match, and I think they're good value at 23-20. The other thing about this game, it's in Baku. It's a neutral venue. It's going to be warm. I know the same for both teams. But if this was in Cardiff, or if it was, you know, the other way around in Zurich or whatever, you'd think, yeah, that, you know, home advantage is going to count for a lot. But I think it takes away from this game the fact that it's been played in one of the more sort of remote venues.
Okay, lovely stuff. Let's move on to Sunday's highlight. Again, 2 o'clock kickoff. England versus Croatia at Wembley. 4-6 England, 27-10 the draw, and 9-2 Croatia. We will start with Aidan. Is there any value here?
I like the draw. I want to be excited about England, but I'm used to being treated to underwhelming first performances in big tournaments.
How many wins have England had in their last 9 tournament openers?
Do you know what? I'm not 100% sure on that, but what I do know is that they've never won an opening game at the Euros.
No wins.
There you go. There
no
you go.
Wins in the last 9. Yeah.
Well, hold on. Didn't England beat Tunisia in the World Cup 2018 2-1? I think that was the last opener, and it was really late winner from Harry Kane, wasn't it? But in the Euros, they haven't. You're right. The Euros have never won their opening game, which is pretty unbelievable, isn't it? I think there's been a few close calls. I remember 2000, Portugal and England were 2-0 up, weren't they? And everyone thought, that's it. We're going to win it. And then Portugal came storming back. The Switzerland one in '96 stands out as well. The hype around Euro '96, and then England struggled to get going, and Turkey almost equalised for Switzerland. And you know, it was the same with Russia in 2016. It was 1-1, and then I think France before that in the Euros previously was another draw. So I think this is a tough game for England. I think it'll play out as Croatia maybe dominating midfield. You look at Croatia's midfield, they're not the team they were 4 or 5 years ago, but they
still decent in midfield, aren't they?
Look at Modric, Brozovic, Kovacic. them three, if they play, will try and control the midfield. You look at England's players in them positions, you might have Rice and Bellingham. Now, both good players. Bellingham, absolutely brilliant. You know, I think he's going to be an absolute superstar, and he already is getting to that stage. But in this game, on this level, playing as a holding midfielder or a defensive midfielder against them or the three, he could get a little bit overrun, and that's where I'd worry about England. And that's when I think Croatia will try and control the match. Someone as good as Modric, we know how good he is. And yeah, that's just why I think it's not going to be an England, you know, coming out all guns blazing and winning the match. I think the draw is good value in this.
Yeah, I can see that. Do you think, Dan, that Gareth Southgate will pick the right team? What is the right team for you?
Well, I mean, at the back, I suppose you've got the issue over Maguire, haven't you? So, you know, probably Mings, you know, although he's trained to today, I think Mings will probably come in there. The real question marks are over the forward positions, aren't they? Either side of Kane, you've got Foden and Rashford and Sterling and Grealish all competing for two spots, really. You know, if assuming that he's going to go with his back three for the first game. Oh dear! I mean,
There's talk that he's going to play Stones in the middle of that three with Walker one side and Shaw on the other.
That's what I've got Walker, Stones, and Mings, and then James and Shaw as the wing backs. I mean, but you're right. That what you said is an option.
I'm hearing Shaw left of the three and Chilwell as the left wing back.
But right. So basically, two left backs. Yeah, but
I have just read actually that I think Maguire has come back into training the last maybe even.
Yeah, he has stayed, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's probably too soon for him to play, but that's obviously, you know, a boost. And, you know, if he's fit for maybe the second or third group matches, I mean, you know.
Sorry, go on, Aidan.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, Maguire being out is the big blow for England. And who does he go with in terms of the three? I mean, this is the thing with England. We can probably talk about it later, but I think we're all probably agreed that how exciting and good it looks going forward. But I think there's real question marks in defence and midfield for me.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. But I think the holding midfield, he's got to get that right. I mean, I think he needs to make sure it's Rice and one other. I just have big reservations at centre back and in goal, and I just think that those areas are too important to have question marks over. But anyway, it's not about me. Aidan's gone for the draw. Dan, what are you going for here?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the draw as well. I just think that I watched the two warm up games. I know you can't really learn a lot from warm up games, but just the fact that England weren't very impressive in either, and that he was so far from getting to his first choice team because they're not using any of those Champions League, you know, final players. You had no Mount, no Foden, no Walker, no Stones, no Sterling. So when you're preparing for a major tournament and you just throw all your first 11 together out of nowhere, I look at all the other teams and they're all getting quite close. At least in one of the warm-up games, they've got quite close to their first 11. We're nowhere near it. So you can't expect it all to just click straight away. I think it would have been better maybe to have played Croatia later in the group when England are a little bit more up to speed. I think playing them first up, England are likely to be a bit off it. Croatia, I think, are a team in decline. I think outside of that midfield, I think there's issues for them at centre back, where they're still relying on, you know, the likes of Lovren, who I don't really rate anyway, and he's probably, you know, past his best. And up front, I think they're lacking as well. But that midfield is very strong. I think they will probably control the game. I think they will try and deny England space in behind, because England are going to look to sit. They know they're not going to control the midfield and then counter-attack them. I think Croatia will be alert to that. I think it'll be a tight early game, tournament game, and a draw for me. Look, big runner.
Okay, both lads go for the draw. As you say, you're absolutely right, Aidan. It's England's last nine Euro openers. They haven't won. Obviously, they did win that World Cup game. But the boys a bit pessimistic about England's chances of ending that record on Sunday. The other game in Group D takes place on Monday, 2:00. Scotland versus the Czech Republic. This is a real tight game as far as the betting is concerned. It's roughly 2-1 Scotland, 2-1 the draw, and 13-8 the Czechs. So, Dan, is there any value in this game, or is it a watching brief for you?
No, I think there is a bit of value. I mean, I was mentioning earlier about how the Czechs could be, you know, affected by a couple of withdrawals from the squad, and I think Scotland might take advantage here. I mean, you don't forget they're at home as well, playing at Hampden Park. I think Scotland draw no bet is, you know, the shade of odds against it is a decent bet. They played the Czechs twice in the Nations League last year, beat them 2-1 away. Now, big caution note over that is the fact that the Czechs were affected by COVID at the time, so it was a virtual, you know, second, if not third string side. But they also beat a full strength Czech team 1-0 at home. So, you know, that you've got a form line there. I think they showed a bit of mental strength, Scotland, in qualifying as well, to come through those two penalty shootouts. And to get past Serbia is, you know, with the talent they've got, is no mean feat. I think there's some good players in certain positions. The midfield looks strong with McTominay, McGinn and Armstrong. You've got the likes of Tierney and Robertson. You know, Che Adams gives them a bit more of a pacey option up front, to, you know, as an alternative to Dykes. I don't think it's such a bad Scotland, certainly first 11. Maybe the squad's a little bit iffy, but I think, yeah, chance they could start off with a win.
Interesting stuff. Okay, excellent. Aidan, do you share Dan's optimism for the Scots?
Yeah, do you know what I do? I actually think Scotland can win it. Yeah, I do. And a lot of it is to do with the fact it's at Hampden. They're riding the crest of a wave a little bit. And the other thing is, this is obviously, we all know, Scotland's first tournament since when, 98. So the fans are like a little bit like what Wales were in 2016. They're just there to sort of enjoy it, really, aren't they? So I don't think there's that much pressure on Scotland. And people are looking at this match from the outside and probably thinking, yeah, Czech Republic might win this or a draw or whatever. But Scotland go into it with almost a bit like a free hit. They got I know it's not going to be full at Hampden, but they're going to have decent backing. And what Dan's saying, that Czech Republic might not be as strong as they would like. I like Scotland to win it. I think they're decent odds to win it. A couple of correct score bets have caught my eye, because I don't think it'll be a particularly, you know, big scoring match. I don't think Scotland are going to run away with it, but Scotland to win 1-0 at 6-1, or Scotland to win 2-1 at 9-1, you know, again, thinking back to previous tournaments, people love to think that, you know, these tournaments are going to kick off with loads of goals and it's going to be end-to-end stuff, but they're often really cagey games at the start, and we get 0-0s, we get 1-0s a lot of the time, and, you know, that's the way I'm looking at that. And, you know, I'd be tempted with a 1-0 correct score, but I know it's obviously, you know, not everyone's cup of tea, and, you know, the odds, you know, you're taking a bit of a risk with it. But that's how I'm viewing this match. I think Scotland, I think they've only actually lost two of the last 15 matches in total, Scotland, and unbeaten in the last five. So I just fancy them. I think Che Adams as well is a really good addition to the squad. For ages, Scotland have needed someone who can get a goal at this level now. Okay, he's maybe not elite Premier League level, but he's banged in a few for Southampton this year in the Premier League, and he'll come in to the match with a bit of confidence. And I agree with Dan in that they've got quality elsewhere. Robertson, Tierney, McTominay, McGinn, all decent players at Premier League level. It's a Scotland win for me, a narrow one.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, gents. Let's look ahead to one of the highlights of the first batch of group games next.
With Members Club Ultimate, you'll get unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive Royal Ascot tips from the likes of Tom Segal and Paul Keighley, plus much more, including access to our award-winning journalism, video replays for UK and Ireland, and our horse tracker. Use code ASCOT21, that's ASCOT21, to get 50% off for your first 3 months.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Euro 2020 football postcast with Bruce Millington, Aidan Perkins and Dan Childs. On Tuesday at 8 o'clock, France versus Germany. This should be an absolute cracker. And it's very, very even in the betting. 8-5 France, 11-5 the draw, and 9-5 Germany. Now, Dan, if you look at how people are viewing these two nations going into the tournament, it's probably slightly surprising that it's so competitive and evenly matched on paper, because there's a lot of love for France and there's not a lot of love for Germany. People keep forgetting. We all know the first rule of international football is you never write off the Germans, but we are.
Yeah, and I'm going to write them off in this game, Bruce. I mean, maybe one of the reasons for the closeness of the prices is the home advantage as well, taking place in Munich. Maybe that's got, you know, priced in quite a bit. But I actually think that might even play into France's favour, because it's just another reason for Germany to sort of play an attacking style and push forward and leave themselves exposed, you know, to the way France want to play, really, which is just to sit with Kante protecting the back four and use the pace of the likes of Mbappe and Griezmann on the counter-attack. I just think that the way Germany plays is kind of tailor-made for France, really. Germany got some great players still got Kroos and Gundogan in the midfield, and Havertz, you know, finished the season really well. You've got Müller, who's still a good player as well for Bayern, and Gnabry, who's, you know, a decent player. Neuer in goal. You reel off the names, and it's a lot of strong players in that Germany team, but I'm not sure about the heart of that defence with Hummels in the middle of a back three they've switched to in recent times. Very iffy results recently. Lost 6-0 to Spain in the Nations League, lost 2-1 home to North Macedonia in a World Cup qualifier, you look at the results and it's a real worry, I think, for Germany. France to win this one for me.
Excellent. Do you share Dan's admiration for the French here, Aidan?
Yeah, I do think they'll win the match, Bruce, but I can see Germany getting on the scoreline as well, score sheet as well. I think France, both teams to score, looks a good bet, 4-1. I've already mentioned how good I think France are in terms of the overall, you know, for the tournament, and with their front line of Mbappe and Griezmann and Benzema, of course, as well, back in the France setup, isn't he, for this tournament? And, you know, we know how good he is. So I think France will win this match. I expect it to be a decent game as well. I've just talked there about the opening games being cagey, but these two are real heavyweights, aren't they? And I think Germany got a bit to prove as well, haven't they? Because they've struggled in the last couple of tournaments, early exit in the World Cup, and plenty of people, like you say, maybe are writing them off. And that's what Germany like to do. They like to prove everyone wrong and underline just how strong they are. And they've still got real quality throughout the squad, haven't they, Germany? You know, players like Sana, and you know, littered with world-class talent, really, Germany still. So I think it'll be tight, but I think France will win it. And I do like the look of both teams to score, France to win about 4-1.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, gents. Before Jack returns to the chair next week to host another Racing Post Euro postcast, there's loads of other games, obviously. We've just touched upon the ones, the real high-profile ones. Is there anything else, Aidan, that you want to put up in the first batch of group games?
Yeah, I mean, it's not great odds, but I do like Belgium to win their opener against Russia. I think that's around about 7-10. Now, this match has been played in St. Petersburg, so some people will think, well, that's home advantage for Russia. Well, it is home advantage for Russia. The thing about this is these two were in the same qualifying group. Belgium went to this very stadium and won 4-1 in qualifying, and they also beat them at home. So I think it really underlines just how superior Belgium are to Russia in the group. A lot of people are fancying, I've not really mentioned them yet, but a lot of people are fancying Belgium to go on and, you know, win it or be there or thereabouts towards the end. I don't think they'll win it, but I think that they're going to go deep into the tournament. I think they'll kick off with a good win against Russia. So that's
and that's one. 8 o'clock on Saturday, isn't it? That should be good.
Yeah, one. Yeah, that's one for me. So
what's the latest with De Bruyne, by the way, Aidan? Is he going to be fit to start this one, or might he sit this one out?
I think the last I read was that he'd undergone fairly successful surgery, but it was fairly minor surgery. I think what's going to happen, it could be a similar situation to Maguire with England, that he might miss the first one or maybe the first two and then he'll be back. He's that good, isn't he, De Bruyne, that you can't leave him out. But you look at the rest of the Belgium squad. Lukaku had a fabulous season for Inter. We've got Eden Hazard now. No, he's not been the player he was at Chelsea, but if he's fit and if he's back to the player he was, he's probably one of the best players in the world. So there's lots of talent in that Belgium squad, and they might not win it, but they're going to go far.
And they'll kick off with a win in Russia. Dan, what else have you got for us?
I had Belgium as well. I fancy him, even though I expect De Bruyne to miss the first game. Apparently, Eden Hazard is Martinez says he's fully fit. You've still got the likes of Mertens and Tielemans and Lukaku. There's lots of quality there, so I like them. Another one I would mention, Poland, I think, should get off to a winning start against Slovakia. I've mentioned that I like the Polish team and Slovakia. I think they're probably, you know, arguably the weakest team at the tournament. I would rate North Macedonia ahead of them.
Okay, and that's 5 o'clock on Monday. Now, key question I want to ask you, chaps, how do you get away? What's your tactic going to be? You're going to try and watch every single game. Uh-huh. And in order to be able to do that, do you have to play that, well, I've got to do it for work card with the people with whom you reside? Dan,
yes.
How do you do it? Do you just go straight in with
I've got
watching more for work?
I do it all the time, yeah. Tried and tested, mate. That's even if I'm watching a National League game, I'll be saying I've got to watch it for work. But I'm still getting away with it at the moment.
Bruce, hopefully she won't listen to this.
Yeah.
I've got two young kids, Bruce, so unfortunately I'm going to struggle, I think, to get in every single match, but I'll do my very best. Yeah, I've got like a four-month-old and a three-year-old, so the chances of watching every single game for me are going to be slim, but
you might have to sacrifice a few of those 5 o'clock. It could be Poland v Slovakia or Peppa Pig, couldn't it?
Peppa Pig. Jeez. We live in a Peppa Pig world, yeah.
Lads, thank you very much indeed. Hopefully the boys have been able to point you towards the way of some value bets. As we always say on these shows, do please bet safely. There is nothing worse than going into a tournament thinking, I'm really looking forward to this, and then you come away from it at the end and you've had too many losing bets and you don't enjoy it. just in, supplement your viewing pleasure with your bet, hopefully bet successfully, and hopefully you can join us next Thursday for another Racing Post Euro 2020 postcast.